the time that we've had this morning. And we really appreciate hearing a testimony. We thank you for helping Nilu, the you, the real God, working in her life, even when she was completely confused and following the wrong God. We thank you for helping her come to know you as Father, to know your Son as her Lord and Saviour. And you know, Lord, what's happened in her life has just been phenomenal. Thank you for the means that you use to draw us to yourself. Even for Nilu, having dreams and things like this that you didn't understand to start with, but then it all fell into place. And we thank you that you can use all sorts of things to bring us to that realization of how much we're loved by you and what you have done for us in Jesus. And we thank you for the things we're going to be looking at now in your word. We ask you to help us to be attentive, to be a student of your truth, that you would help us to be growing in our faith. And if we're not there yet, that our eyes would be open, just like Nilu's was, to come to know Jesus. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, as you saw in the passage, which is what we're up to in the book of Hebrews, it's about discipline. And I've got to tell you, discipline is never a pleasant thing, is it? All right. Start off with a few stories. I remember the time when, many times, but this time I remember. I remember I was being naughty. I was only young, being naughty. And my mum stepped forward to grab me, and in our day, to get a decent smack. But I sort of just jumped back, and she didn't get me. And then she leaned forward, and I jumped back further. Then she started to run, and I started to run. And I started to run faster than her, and I got away. And I thought, you beauty! I can run faster than my mum, and I'm not going to get it. Not so. Dad comes home. Mum tells him everything, including me running away. I could not outrun Dad. I was in trouble. Boy, did I get it. I learned some important lessons that day. And then I think when I was a dad, the thing that comes to my mind is this very special incident when I could hear Colleen chastising one of our daughters, and I thought I'd better go and find out what's happening. I was in our bedroom, so I walked down the passageway towards the arch that leads into our family room, and as I'm going along, I hear a bang. Well, someone just got smacked. I better see what's going on. So I go there, and as all this is happening, I'm about to approach the arch when two of my daughters go through the arch and turn immediately right, and I was to their left, so they never saw me. And then I heard the one behind the sister, her sister, saying, "That didn't even hurt." Can you imagine what happens now? Well, this will. Bang! And you got a lecture about being disrespectful to mum. So she learned some lessons there as well. I'm sure you've got lots of stories, and some not so funny stories as well. But, you know, why do we discipline? We discipline because it's all part of teaching and training for correcting our behaviour. And as parents, I tell you what, there's a lot of that has to happen. But when we look at the passage that we have in God's Word this morning, isn't it wonderful to see how this is exactly what our God does to us as well, because he wants to teach us and instruct us. He's the God who disciplines us. And to make it even more beautiful, he is the Father who disciplines us because he loves us. And we're going to look at a very special passage. There's not too many passages I can think of in the whole Bible that is so explicit in regard to the Father heart of God and how he deals with us. This is very special, this section. And I pray that God might richly bless it to us all. So let's read, to begin with, Hebrews chapter 12, 4-6. And it begins by saying, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." And the Bible is very clear here that our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the God who chooses to discipline us, and he chooses to discipline us because he's our Father, and we have become his children through faith in Jesus. We're talking about family. In God's family, God disciplines us. And the verse is quoted here from the Old Testament, from Proverbs 3:11 and 12. and James 5 verse 17. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit puts upon the Hebrew writer this important truth, just in case us Christians living under the new covenant think that God doesn't do this anymore. He does. But the thing that we're meant to rejoice in is that this God, He disciplines us, and the word that's not mentioned here is He doesn't punish us. And we need to understand the important change that has occurred ever since we put our faith in Jesus. Before we put our faith in Jesus, God is to us the great creator God and the judge of heaven and earth. And as judge, He's the one who judges and brings judgment and punishment to bear. That's how it is. He's God. But there's a huge change when we come to be followers of Jesus. We become children of God. And the word used here in the scriptures is not punishment, but discipline. And that's such an important thing to pick up on, isn't it? You know, I know there are many Christians that I seem to think of, many who when they're going through hard times, when things are really against them, when they've got a whole series of hardships that they go through, I have heard quite often them saying, God is punishing me. And I guess they're thinking of all the things they've done in their life and God is just punishing them. And I've got to say, friends, that's not the case. They have a wrong view of God. God does not punish His children. He's not the judge anymore over us in that sense. He's our Father and He disciplines us. You've got to understand that change. Otherwise, you'll view God as a punishing God rather than a loving Father. And you know, just hearing Neely's testimony, that's very important we understand that. There's too many Christians who have a wrong view of the Father. They even think of the Father as the one that Jesus has appeased because He's full of wrath and anger. And Jesus has stepped in to sort of appease an angry Father. That's such a wrong view. The Bible teaches us that the Father is our Saviour too. It's the Father who came up with the very plan to save us. It's the Father who gave His Son. And He always wanted us to become His children through His Son. And that He might come into personal relationship with us and treat us as sons and daughters of His. And that's a really great truth to grasp hold of. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, there's something mentioned there about us being the children of God. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love," listen to that, "in love He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace." What a great section. And look what's highlighted there. We have become the sons and daughters of God, and He treats us like that indeed. And so as a result, you can't help but pick up this really important truth as we go down. And let me now read to you verses 6 to 8 of Hebrews chapter 12. And it says there, "But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good so that we may share His holiness." And the Hebrew writer puts here how the reality that we are sons and daughters of the living God, the reality of discipline helps us understand that we truly are sons and daughters of God. If God didn't discipline us, then how can we declare ourselves to be children? And isn't it interesting to put it that way? We are legitimate children, and that's born by the fact that we are disciplined. So are you disciplined? Who's disciplined here by God? I've got to put my hand up. I want you to understand what the scriptures are saying. That shows that you are a legitimate child of God, because the Lord disciplines His children. But you know, let's have a look at some other things now. And in that last verse I read, I'll read again Hebrews 12, 9 and 10. Have a look at the purpose of discipline. "Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seems best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. I love the emphasis there in verse 10. God disciplines us for our good. For our good. Wow. That's really important to pick up on. So, earthly fathers are mentioned. They do their best to discipline their children for the good, but they're far from perfect. I've been far from perfect as a parent, and my dad was as well. But we do our best, don't we? There are times when we are disciplining, but it's not disciplining anymore. We've crossed over to punishment because we are absolutely annoyed. And anger builds and we become crazy. Or there's other times when we just become so neglectful. You know, when you can't go to the footy to watch a match, so you're watching it on TV, right? And the kids are just being so annoying and you're so neglectful when you go sort it out yourself. Let me tell you that our Father in heaven is never like this. He is a really good Father. And he always disciplines for our good. He's not neglectful. He's never in a rage. He is patient. His anger is controlled. He's also forgiving and so many other wonderful things. Our God disciplines us always with good. And not only is he disciplining us for our good, but also in verse 6 it says, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He disciplines us for our good and he disciplines us in his great love. I just love every scripture we have of Jesus and especially every scripture we have of the Father. I want through Jesus and through the scriptures to understand my Father more and more. I hope you do too. And here's a great passage on this. My Father disciplines me for my good and he does it because he loves me. Can you say that? Look through all of your life. That's how it's always been from the true God. False gods are not like that, as nearly mentioned, but the true God is not like the false gods. He has a loving heart towards us and he disciplines us for our good. Now when I think about these things, there's a psalm that comes to my mind. Hey Hazel, this is your favourite psalm. Psalm 103. And Psalm 103 has some amazing words there. Even though it's Old Testament, of course we have the same God carrying right through, we see the heart of God. And I want to pick up the reading from verse 8 of Psalm 103. And it says, Psalm 103 verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And I'll just pause as I go through this reading. What an amazing God. What a declaration of who he is. You know, you can think of all the things that could have been said about God. It could have said, the Lord is powerful and awesome. You know, you ought to fall before him and fear him. And that's true. But God wants us to know that he is a God of great grace and compassion, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And then the next two verses, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. When I think of that passage in light of Hebrews chapter 12, I look at that and I go, wow. Isn't it so good that when I upset God, when I sin against God, he doesn't just have this anger against me all the time. It's short-lived. And not only that, he's very forgiving. Not only that, so many times he doesn't even discipline me when I sin. Because it says in verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. As many times God lets it go by, but he picks the ones that he's going to deal with. Wow. I love this. This is my God. This is our God. Then listen to these words. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. Do you fear the Lord? That means you believe in him and trust in him. Then the Lord's love is upon you, a love higher than the heavens. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God is a forgiving God. He doesn't recall to mind the sins of the past. They are dealt with. That's why when he disciplines us, not keeps punishing. Because he's a forgiving God. He removes our sins far away. This is our God. Praise his name. And then it says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. A compassionate heart. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. What a what a heart he has for us, a heart of understanding and compassion. So when you know who the real God is, you can embrace his discipline because he does it for our good and he does it out of love. He loves us so much. I've got to tell you that he loves us more than we could ever comprehend. I have not plumbed the depths of God's love. I get blown over again and again as I comprehend more and more of his amazing love. I see his love when we think of communion. I see his love when Jesus died for us, the Father, the Son dying for us. But I've got to tell you, I see his love so often throughout life. God is a loving God. And especially the way he deals with me as a sinner. When I really do things I shouldn't and I upset my God, he deals with me in love. And now let's have a look at the goal of God's discipline. And that's seen in verses 10 and 11 of this reading. It says, "For they, that is, earthly fathers, discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Do you see in those two verses what the goal of this discipline is? God disciplines us for godliness. Or specifically, God disciplines us that we might be holy and that we might be righteous. And they are good things to realise. There is beautiful fruit that comes to us when we allow the Lord to discipline us. And if we understand these things, as it began with in Hebrews chapter 12, we ought to look forward to the discipline of the Lord. I didn't with my dad, because I didn't know what was going to happen. But I tell you what, as you come to know God, you realise, hang on, but God's discipline is not like any earthly parent. It's for good. It's for purposes, for my benefit. And that's why it says in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 12, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord." Don't minimise it. It's actually a really good and blessed thing. Or the next part of verse 5, "Nor faint when you are reproved by him." Don't just collapse and go, "Oh, give up." Realise that discipline of the Lord is such a blessing to you. Verse 7, "It is for discipline that you endure." Endure discipline. It's got a great outcome. You've got a loving Father dealing with you. Okay, and so as God deals with us, two things are going to happen. I want to talk first of all about verse 11. And verse 11 says at the end, "Afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." God is seeking to help us become righteous. That is to say, to remain on the path of righteousness. All right, let's think about this path of righteousness. This path of righteousness, another name for this path, is the narrow way of Christ. Here we are. You've been saved, born again, then you're on that path. Now, what happens when you're on a path? Well, if you're like me, you know, you can take shortcuts. Or you might do all sorts of things. But we go off the path, don't we? Who's been off the path? Every one of us, haven't we? We go off the path. Off the path of righteousness. Off the path of following Jesus. Off the path of doing God's will. It's the same path. We leave behind the ways of righteousness. So what does God do to bring us back? The word is, starts with D, he disciplines. This is a really important picture. When we go off the path, God disciplines us because he loves us and for our good he wants to bring us back to that path. We stray so much. There are all sorts of things that we get distracted with. The world draws us away. Our sinful desires draw us away. There's all sorts of things. We got this time that's never happened in our world, this time of craziness, and we get so distracted even with that and we operate by fear instead of by faith. But God will discipline us because he loves us to bring us back to the path. Praise his name. If he didn't do that, what would happen? We would wander further and further away. We would get more and more lost and far away. Because he loves us, because we are his children if we're in Christ, he will use his discipline to bring us back. And I'm not going to explore with you all the ways that are at God's disposal. He has heaps of ways to discipline you and to bring you back. Isn't that true? I imagine if we had plenty of time this morning, you could testify of the ways the Lord has used in your life to bring you back to him. So he does it that we might be righteous.
stay on the path of righteousness. And then verses 12 and 13 tie into that. Like, this is a real encouragement to us. If we understand what God is doing, it says in verse 12 of Hebrews 12 and 13, "Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." In other words, don't get discouraged by this. Stand up, be strengthened. Take the Lord's discipline and get on that right path. Get on that path. And it talks there in verse 13, make sure that you stay on that path, because things get worse if we don't stay on that path. That's what that verse 13 is about. And when we're on this path, it's interesting at the end of verse 11, it says that it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's got the word peace there. Have you ever found that? When you're following Jesus, when you're on the path of righteousness, and living out the life that Jesus taught us to live, like loving your neighbours, turning the other cheek, all these sort of things, being forgiving, guess what happens in your heart? We just read it, you have a peace. You have a peace, a settledness. It's the best place to be, but why don't we stay on it? A peace from God. This righteousness produces a beautiful fruit. I got a quote also from Jeremiah again. I did this last week, I think. Oh, I love Jeremiah. So Jeremiah says something else that happened when we're on the right path. And I praise God that he disciplines us to bring us onto that path. It says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, these great words. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the way and see, and ask for the ancient path." What path is that? The righteous path. "Where the good way is," it goes on to say, "and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul." What a remember a verse like that, eh? What a fantastic thing. Praise God! Can you say that? Praise God for the disciplines he brings in my life, that I might know peace and rest for my soul, that I might walk the good path, the path of righteousness. But there's something else that God is doing in his discipline of us. I skipped over it, but let's go back to it now. It's in verse 10, at the end of verse 10. "He disciplines us for our good so that we might share in holiness." All right, and I want to specifically look at holiness in this very important aspect, and that is God wants us to become more like Jesus. That's the great declaration of the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "He has predestined us to become conformed. He has predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brethren." God's desire is for us to become like Jesus. Well, how is that going to happen? How is our nature going to be transformed into the likeness of Christ? The key word is, starts with D, discipline. God will discipline us, just like a father disciplining their child. So God will use discipline to keep us on the path of righteousness. God will use discipline to change our character so that we might become more like Jesus. And this is where the Spirit of God is so important in his work in us. He's the one who will convict us of our sins. He will challenge us in regard to our wrong attitudes and behaviours. He's the one who will correct us in our faults in order to conform us to the image of the beloved Son of God. So again, we can't help, if we understand the purposes of God, we can be welcoming to God's disciplines in our life. God wants us to become more like Jesus. When I think of that, there's a great verse I've got to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And the Apostle Paul declares there, "But we all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." And God is doing that work in us from glory to glory through him disciplining us and through the work of the Spirit. And it's important that we allow God to do this work in us, because just moving on into our text to verse 14, Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." Wow! That's pretty challenging, that last bit. The Puritans in the 16th century had a little phrase from this verse. They would say, "No holiness, no heaven." What do you think of that? Are they saying that you get to heaven by works? No. But they're saying something really important. They're saying if there's no evidence of holiness in our life, then we haven't been born again. Then we're not legitimate children. We do not have a father ruling over us. So therefore, this is important to understand. We need the discipline of the Lord and to see a transformation happening in our heart so that we can actually be assured of being the children of the Lord. So bring it on, we should say. May you discipline me, Lord, and help me to grow in holiness that I can see for myself that I am your child. No holiness, no heaven. It's so true. There's so many people who are false believers. They have done the easy believism road. They put their hand up, but there's no following Jesus. There's no conforming to his image. And you know, we ought to be really, really worried about that sort of thing. Like, are any of us like that? We need to make sure that we are legitimate children of God, saved truly, born of the Spirit. And how do you know that? By the fruit, Jesus taught in the book of Hebrews here, by holiness. It's not saying perfectness. None of us are perfect, but there ought to be a driving towards holiness because we know the Father in our life, and that's how it is. So I'm just moving on into the last bit. I want to read now verses 15 to 17 and finish there. And this is interesting. It all is connected to what we've been looking at in regard to the fatherhood of God and his discipline of us. And in verses 15 to 17, there is quite a warning. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Why is this passage here? How does this connect with discipline? Well, what the Hebrew writer, through the Holy Spirit, is saying to us here is, make sure that you know the discipline of the Lord in your life and that you have a good fellowship around you, keeping you on track. Because it says, see to it, that no one, that means we're meant to be looking after each other. We need to look after each other, and we need to make sure that we're allowing the discipline of the Lord to drive us in the right direction. Because if we don't, if we neglect the discipline of the Lord, if we neglect the counsel of godly people in our life, then this is what's going to happen. We will come short of the grace of God. That's serious. We'll be found wanting. There's something wrong. Not only that, if we don't have these things operating, we are so prone to having something happen in our life. We become bitter. A root of bitterness develops. We become such a trouble in the Lord's church. Why? Because we haven't been listening to sound counsel. We have not been allowing the Lord to discipline us. Not only that, it goes on to say that we might even become immoral in our behaviour. Like Esau is quoted. You see, the Lord's discipline and the counsel of godly people around us will help us to repent. Will help us to confess our sins. Will help us to get on track. So praise God for his discipline. And praise God for people in our life who in love input into our life to help us stay on track. So this section is a very important section because there are so many things that can stop us from running the race which we saw in Hebrews 12. Remember that great verse? Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And God uses discipline to help us run that race really well. Well, praise the Lord's name. Before we sing, I've got to say to you, I just love the fact that God is our Father. I remember the great transition in my own life from seeing God as the Almighty God only, the great Creator, to realizing, wow, I know Jesus died for me, and understanding that his death has brought me into personal relationship with the most magnificent Father of all. That's who our God is. And it's so good to embrace him and to know him and to be glad when he's working in our life. Let's now, we're going to sing. So, as our Father, and we want to say thank you for so much bringing that about. Thank you that you're the God who has pursued us, that we didn't find you, but you found us. And we are so blessed to be your children. Thank you for the way that you have called us and drawn us to you. Thank you for opening our eyes to our own rebellion against you and your incredible love for us despite our rebellion. Father, thank you for giving your own Son that we might become the sons and daughters of you. Thank you for him bearing our sin so that we could be fully forgiven and restored to you. And we thank you that it's the best thing to be your child. And we just looked at a passage about discipline, and as we look at it, we can't help but go, Lord, it's a good thing you discipline us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you see us wandering away and you bring us back. Thank you that you see ugliness in our heart and you're prepared to discipline us that we might be like Jesus. Thank you that you love us more than we could ever comprehend. May we love you, Father. May we love your work in our life, even if it's tough for us. Please would you do your work in all our lives that we might shine Jesus better, that we might be a better light in this dark world, that we might be a people who praise your glorious name and as a result make you attractive to the people in our world who think that you're nothing. Lord, help us in the days we live to walk by faith and not by fear. Help us to shine you. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.